This podcast is brought to you by ORC HSE Strategies, an industry leader in developing innovative, sustainable approaches for protecting workers and the environment. ORC HSE is known as an honest broker and a source of responsible business positions on EH&S legal and regulatory issues. Now, what ORC HSE does is they maintain a constructive working relationship with policymakers in industry, labor, government, and key professional associations. And they keep all members abreast of important legal developments and help them navigate the thorny technical, legal, and regulatory issues that are our lives in EH&S. If you're interested in learning more about the unique opportunities available through ORC HSE, please contact our friend Linda Haney at 202-510-0509. Or, if you'd rather, drop her an email at linda.haney@orchse.com. That's Linda, L-I-N-D-A, dot Haney, H-A-N-E-Y, at orchse.com. Now, let's go on to the podcast. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Pre-Accident Podcast. I'm Todd Conklin. I will be your temporary host, your substitute teacher for today's podcast journey. So sit back, relax, throw some spitballs, and know that we're going to watch a film strip. That's pretty much... No, I'm kidding. Are you kidding? This one is a great one. You know, I don't often get access for the podcast with senior leadership. I'm lucky. I get to spend a lot of time with senior leaders. I will tell you that mostly they don't like me because I oftentimes have to tell them their baby's ugly. Like I say this phrase all the time, you can hold on to your old system if you think it's good, but I'm pretty sure it's not good enough. That's why you invited me. And then they look at me like I have a hand growing out of my forehead, and they kind of bust my chops and look at me. This podcast, however, is very different, because in this podcast, we had pretty much complete access to a senior leader, and he is a great guy. This is Barry Boswell, and he's from Luminant Energy in Texas. He's a senior VP for generation, so he's a big generation guy for all you utilities people. He's done it all. I mean, he grew up in the business, so he started at the bottom and worked his way towards the top. I always think that gives different depth to the leadership, but I think the thing that Barry holds above anything else he has is he's just a really good human being, un buena persona, if we said it in Spanish, and he wants to do what he needs to do to make all his generation stations reliable, resilient, and stable. And it's funny, for Barry, there's not a lot of separation between production and safety. He sees his world as this reliable, resilient, stable generation of power. And that's how he talks about it. And it's quite incredible, actually. Barry's fun, and he's interesting, and he's a good guy. He also gave us pretty much complete access. And so this podcast is really kind of a deep dive into what senior leadership is thinking, but I pushed him a little, and you'll hear it, because I'm not really just interested in what senior leadership's thinking. I'm interested in what we need to do to create an environment where senior leadership can not only get this information, but thrive with this new information. And this shift in thinking, this new philosophy, this new method that the New View Safety 2 brings to the world, I think we haven't done an especially good job at building a bridge for leadership to understand how they need to change in order to lead a more resilient organization. And that's what we talked about with Barry. And I think you're going to find it really interesting. Big thanks to Luminant for everything they've done in the world. They're the most generous company when it comes to creating safety and building resilience. But an especially big thanks to Charles Major and really Wes, the whole gang. But most thanks go today to the fact that Barry took time out of his busy schedule, and he's a busy man. He was on a conference call before the podcast and a conference call after the podcast, because nothing's more fun than two conference calls. In fact, I think he gave up his time where a normal person would have peed to actually have this conversation with us. Now, it's an interesting podcast because you'll see a man barges in the middle of the recording, and it was nothing but funny. I could not have been angry at the guy had you told me to be angry at the guy, because if you'd have seen his face, he was eating a sandwich and clearly he was checking the AV equipment, and he just barges into this door with a mouthful of sandwich and just is completely shocked by the fact that we're in there sitting there. It only makes the podcast better. I cut his mumblings out just because I had no idea what he said, but you'll hear the door open and close, no question about that. It's funny because Barry didn't even skip a beat. You'll also see that at the end of the podcast, there were some technical difficulties. I'll explain that further as we go into it. But for now, sit back and think. This is a senior VP in charge of lots and lots of plants that generate lots and lots of electricity. In fact, it's a super hot day when I'm recording this, so there's a lot of profit being made in that business. A lot of air conditioners are running in the state of Texas right now. This is a man who took his time and took it away from, I guess, what he's supposed to be doing, to have a conversation with us. And I think what Barry would tell you is this conversation is exactly what he's supposed to be doing. Because I love the fact that Barry's teaching us and learning from us at the very same time. So no more. I'll gush no longer. Can you tell I like this guy? I really like this guy. Sit back and relax and listen carefully. This is Barry Boswell from Lumen Energy.
What's interesting about that?
We're
recording, but I can edit anything else.
Okay.
So if you want to say anything dirty or anything,
okay.
I'm pretty surprised
if
you do.
I thought we just talked a bit. Good, I'm good. Okay.
So what's been most surprising? I mean, watching stuff.
You know what's been so surprising? Probably is the knowledge that we have down in our workforce that we haven't tapped for so many years. And as you've told us many times, where the answers really lie in most cases.
How have you been pulling that knowledge out?
I think the latest thing that we've been working on, and we're starting to really try to get ingrained in our culture, is our learning teams. You talked about them with us for a while, probably a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And we really haven't got it kicked off well. And Bob Edwards came back a few months ago and has done quite a bit of training with our team. So learning teams, I think they're starting to really go well. You know, one of the things I'd like to see one day is they just happen down at the crew level without anybody asking to happen. Now, we're not really there yet, I wouldn't say. We still kind of, you know, engage learning teams and make them happen, but I think they're going really well. In fact, we replaced a lot of what I call kind of more formal investigations, or we call EFF, event fact findings, right, with learning teams instead of the more formal process.
So you have kind of a gradient of investigations. You can go to a full-blown EFF if you need to.
Right.
But you've got, like, ways to learn small things.
Right. It, kind of learning teams, or then if you have a bigger event, the full-blown EFFs. And I'd say we're graduating down where we're doing more learning teams and fewer EFFs.
But doesn't that make sense?
It does.
Because you'd have way more precursor small events, hopefully, than you'd ever have large events.
That is correct. And really, our system, we have more capacity for learning teams. EFFs are kind of formal and take a lot of time. They're slow to get the answers. A lot of times we don't get the answers down in the workforce like we should.
So. In theory, they're kind of expensive. They're resource
kind
intensive.
That is correct.
So introduce yourselves.
I'm Barry Boswell. I work for Lumina. We generate electricity in the state of Texas. And I've been with this company for about 36 years.
What's your job?
My current job is Vice President of Fossil Generation.
So you're a senior leader in the company.
I am.
Tell us about your human performance journey. How did it start for you?
You know, it started, I think, in about 2010. We got a new chief operating officer, a gentleman named Mike Williams, and he came to us and said, we're going to start this human performance journey. And I really didn't know what he meant, to be real honest with you, Todd. At first, I thought it was tools. You know, it was things like peer checking and phonetic alphabet, which I was bought in. I could see the value of that. But then it wasn't long. In fact, the chief operating officer before Mike, who was our chief nuclear officer at one time, Mike Blevins, he made a statement that really rang to me. He said, human performance is not about the tools. It's a different culture. It's a different way of thinking about things. And that's when it kind of started clicking with me a little bit.
So you took the regular training. How'd you get exposed?
Through the training. We had training from several different people. You've helped us train some. We've had Rob Fisher, Tim Montre, a lot of different people that's come in and helped us train. But probably the most valuable thing is we have a small organizational excellence group. And they go out and we get all this training, and then they put an action plan together for us looking 1, 2, 3 years out, kind of a path to go forward with. But training is something we've done every year down the journey, kind of continue to increase our knowledge.
Did they do special training for you guys as senior leaders? Did the senior leaders get what they needed to get in order for you to be successful?
You know, Todd, in looking back, and I think Charles Major would tell you the same thing. He's the lead of our OE team. I don't think we did a good enough job training our senior leaders to really understand what it's about and kind of the things you need to believe and all moving forward. We started out with the training just like everybody else, kind of understanding the tools and the different modes, skill-based, role-based, knowledge-based, and what that all meant. But I think looking back, you know, something, just making sure the leadership understands the human performance principles. You know, we're all fallible and workers come to work to do a good job, but things like that. I think if we had to do it over again, we would probably do more training and leadership first before we really roll it out.
So how much did you have to change as a leader when HP started having legs and started having impact? Because my theory, I should give you background on why I'm asking this question. My theory is that the workers really don't have to change very much. It's the way we lead the workers is where kind of the big philosophical, like the way we define right. Safety. For you guys in Luminant, safety went from very mathematical, where you counted injuries, to now you're much more interested in capacity and how reliable and resilient right. you are, and you measure way different things. That's not a shift that impacts the workers. Right. That had to be a change in what you guys were interested in as leaders.
Well, you know, I go all the way back to when I started 30-plus years ago. From then, I've had to change a lot.
Tell us about that. I'm curious about that.
You know, I grew up in what I call a command and control environment. Always tell groups when I talk to them, stop and unsure. That just didn't happen in the day. If a craft person wanted to stop a job for something, he was probably viewed as somebody who was just wanting to go back to the break room and get out of work. So when you look at our culture today and you kind of say, well, I want everybody to stop and unsure, well, that's kind of how we were trained. You know, work don't stop.
Right.
So it's something that's changed. Questioning attitude, being willing to speak up if you feel uncomfortable about doing anything. When I started back in the 80s, a questioning attitude, if you had that, especially around safety, you'd probably be tagged as a safety troublemaker, just wanting to get out of work and cause problems. In reality, those were probably people ahead of their times trying to make safer systems in a safer environment. You know, the whole theory about, not theory, the learning over blame. I'll be honest with you, that's something I've had to change thinking about. You know, when bad things happen, you kind of had a tendency in the past.
I'm sorry?
The whole concept of when bad things happen, viewing it as a learning opportunity rather than blaming someone.
How weird is that that's a choice? Like, where you had to realize that you could choose either blame and punish, or you learn and improve, and it's a leadership choice.
I mean, but you know, I never thought about it, Todd, until we got into human performance. I just, you know, when things go wrong, the first thing is, used to think, you know, how could he let that happen? What were they thinking? And to your point, you've told us many times, we really didn't change anything, says we would correct the worker right out on the front line. I mean, it really didn't fix the issue moving forward. And probably when it really rang for me is when I first read Sidney Decker's book, Field Guide to Understanding. I don't remember exactly where it is, but it's in the first 50 or 60 pages where it talks about finding the bad apple and how easy it is. And management has that pressure to go out and find that bad apple, and when you've done that, you've corrected the problem, and how really that hasn't done a whole lot. It feels good for a while, but then soon you realize it didn't solve anything.
I believe Sidney Decker says it's like peeing in
your pants. Exactly what he says.
It's an immediate relief, and then it's creepy.
But you know, I read that, and I read it again, and I'm like, you know, that's right. That's really right, and that's where we've been for a long time in our culture.
So what advice do you have for senior leaders in other organizations that are embarking on this journey? If you could have known something when you guys started, what would you want to know, or what would you want other senior leaders to know?
You know, the first thing I'd do is I would go out and talk to people like you and really understand what it means. I'd read some of the books. The two that were really important to me was Decker's book, Field Guide to Understanding Human, let's see,
Human Error.
Human Error. And then your book is Pre-Accident Investigation. To me, those are two really good books to read. And just think about it. Is it a culture you can really support as a senior leader? Because I really believe if your senior leadership team is not engaged, it's hard. The culture can't really change down low. You can't really have a culture of learning versus blame if it's not all the way through the organization. And I think you have to determine if you're really committed to that. I know one of the things our COO, Mike Williams, who really started the human performance journey for us, he started a call when we had an accident or significant event. And all the plants were on the call, and whoever was associated with the event, they kind of went through what their learnings were from the call.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And he was real clear that this wasn't about finding fault or finding blame. It was understanding what happened. It was about learning from it. It kind of set the tone for everything moving forward from there. And I think it started creating that learning versus blame culture in our organization. And you know, the other thing that's still hard for me, I'll be honest with you, I probably still think it more than I say it, and probably unfortunately say it some, but is, as you say, how you react when failure happens as a senior leader. If the first reaction is, what were they thinking? I probably set the whole tone for the rest of that
right.
investigation, as opposed to, you know, is everybody okay? And what can we learn from this? And let's make sure we learn everything. And I think we do a lot better, but I think we're all still humans and we still struggle to get to where we really need to be on that journey.
You guys are doing something I think that's really noteworthy, and that is you've been working with people who come and benchmark you. How do you find that? I mean,
you know, I enjoy it because we always learn from it too, right? I don't know, we probably had four or five other utilities I know that's come and talked to us. In several cases, it's been their senior leaders who have come and talked to us. And several of those have started down the journey, the human performance journey. So it's fun. We have a utility that's very close to us that we have a really close relationship that we share a lot back and forth on our journeys and do some training back and forth. And I think it makes us better, too, when we do that.
Well, I think if you think about it, senior leaders are workers. Mm-hmm. And I think senior leaders, we need to create an environment where senior leadership can be successful in leading safety in this new view, right? I mean, just like we would with workers on the floor.
Right.
I mean, we create an environment where they can be successful. That's something I think you do extremely well. And I don't know if it's just a natural talent you have or that you really value the opportunity to learn and develop. But you're VP of generation. I think generation is really interesting because there's always production pressure.
Right.
So really, there's no such thing as a difference between safety and production because you're never not in production. I mean, it would be bad if you were producing,
right?
And so you're constantly balancing out that efficiency and thoroughness. What last tips do you have for people?
You know, I want to make a comment about that comment. And certainly it's a day-to-day issue when we have our outages where we shut our units down and work on bringing a lot of people, the pressure is there. But as we talked this morning in one of the sessions, if you focus on safety and you get your safety culture right and you get your people feeling good that you care about them and you're taking care of them, in almost all cases, the production side of it takes care of itself is what I found. So, because, you know, once people know that you care about them and you listen to them, then the production is seems to take care of itself.
Excellent job, man.
So
you killed it. Perfect podcast.
I don't know, Todd.
Perfect.
It doesn't sound very good.
But
I will tell you this, Alfred. I am so happy with where we're at and the journey that we're on. And, you know, the thing I wonder a lot when I lay in bed is how many people already have been kept from getting hurt seriously. Now, we're not perfect, Todd, and that's what I do hate sometimes. I don't want anybody to think we don't have our sine waves and ups
right.
and downs. And the other thing, and you mentioned it, and I didn't know where you were going. At least on the generation side, you know, the directors, you've worked with every one of them.
Right.
I think you would say, too, they don't go through it because they have to because they work for this company. They believe it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the other thing. I know we've had, have you talked to the guys at West Star? They're one of the ones.
Yeah.
And I know John Britson pretty well.
Yeah.
We've been friends for a long, long time. And it was interesting. He came in and Charles has a little slide deck that we kind of go through together. His first question before I can get first slides, how do you hold people accountable there? And I thought, oh my, you might not be for you here.
It's going to be a long day.
So, you know, we talk about that and stuff like that. But anyway, my point is the leadership has to be more than just bought in because I work for the company. I think they got to be personally bought in, or else their workers will see through it.
And this was about the podcast that couldn't exist. We had the interruption. You heard that. We talked about it. The guy came in and was completely freaked out. And then my batteries on my recorder just completely died. It's weird. That recorder is a year old. It's worked perfectly. Hard to believe that batteries would wear out. And even harder to believe that I would have such a brittle system that I would not have any emergency batteries. Well, I had one, but one was not sufficient. Two is what it took. So we continued our talk, got a bowl of M&Ms, laughed a little bit, and I figured out a way to bring alternative power to sort of ask him the big final question. And so, without any further ado, you'll hear M&Ms in bowls and in mouths and laughter, because that's a part of this entire conversation with Barry. He was great fun to talk to. He's going to answer the last word question. So, sorry about this. This is the podcast that almost didn't happen, but I think what's on it is certainly worth it. So, let's finish up with Barry's interview. Here we go.
So, last words? Any last words? Because we're running again now. I figured out how to fix the problem.
Last words. I would tell anybody that's on the journey, just continue to stay on the journey. Don't ever give up learning. Keep trying to learn. Engage your people. And share what you know with everybody else.
Create space for leaders, right? Create space for leaders.
Right.
So trainings, time. This is
right. Yeah, I mean,
this is a huge battle for other companies, which kind of shocks me. Why would they have to fight to get time with their senior leadership to actually help make operations more effective?
Yeah.
It's really confusing to me why that happens.
I got to believe you don't understand that that's the case, right?
Right.
Because if senior leadership's not bought in, it's going to be very difficult for your organization to be bought in.
Sounds good.
So, good.
Thanks, man.
You know, thank you, Todd.
Back to work.
Thanks for what you do for all of us in our industry.
Are you kidding? The pleasure is mine. So what do you think? I told you. It was a great little conversation, wasn't it? Lots of learning in there. A ton of fun to do. A ton of fun, I hope, for you to listen to. Just enjoy. And if you get a chance to meet Barry, and seriously, I mean this, if you get a chance to meet him, take it, because he's a great guy. There's no question about it. That's the podcast for today. There's lots more to talk about, but why? Why? We can move on and start and do other stuff. Let's just kind of bask in the glory of talking to a super nice guy and an excellent leader as he tells us about his journey. That's what it's all about. So thanks for your time, everyone. You know, the podcast is doing great. I can't believe the numbers. Tell your friends, subscribe. The more people we get to listen to this, the better the world becomes. It's hard to listen to podcasts like this and not be challenged away from the old name, blame, shame, and retrain thinking. Play it for your bosses. Let them listen as well. And know that all these leaders that have gone on this journey are available resources for your senior leadership to talk to if they need to. So that pretty much covers it. I think there's more stuff, but I can't think what it is right now. So I hope you learned something new every single day. I bet you did today. Have as much fun as you possibly can. And for goodness sakes, be safe.